Welcome to another broadcast of Celebrating Truth with Dr. E. Fay Williams, Esquire, on the Artist First Radio Network. Dr. Williams currently serves as National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and President of Natural Health Options. All past shows can be downloaded free on demand. Visit the archives for Dr. Williams and Celebrating Truth at artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you very much. This is Fay Williams, your host for Celebrating Truth. I'm here in Washington, D.C. at Freedom Plaza, where we've got lots of brothers and sisters from all across the country, all across the world, as a matter of fact. The big sign reads, "We the People." And right now, they're discussing whether they're going to accept an extension of their permit. Initially, you know, their permit was up, and we thought that perhaps police would be kind of around here. They are on the periphery, but they're not right here on the plaza. But I do have a few people who've been here for several days, and they're going to tell you what's going on here at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. Our first guest here is Roya.
Yes.
Okay, and Roya, I understand you are from Iran.
Yes, originally I was born and raised in Iran, and I came for American dream over here, and it never accomplished. My friend died of cancer, not accessing healthcare here. My student died of, a disease which is unknown, but he was taking Tylenol for 4 months, and his liver gave up.
So they didn't have health care?
No, they didn't have health care. So I became a health care activist, thinking that I could do something and trying to pass good laws, you know, like universal single-payer laws, you know, to cover everyone. But I came to this agonizing truth that the corporations are in the way of trying to help out people in this country.
Now, you came here directly from where?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, yes. Is that where you live now?
Yes.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear about your friend. I know that the president tried very hard to get affordable health care, finally got a bill, but didn't get all of the things that many of us wanted in that bill, but it was a start. What do you think this protest today will say to the members of Congress? The people want more. I mean, are you here to speak on behalf of just your friends or the people in general?
That's one of the things we are trying to accomplish. But I feel like what I came here to accomplish, to build community and educate and learn from others so I can go back to my state and start education so I can rise up other people in Colorado.
Wonderful. Well, where do you sleep at night?
I sleep in a plaza, and sometimes I sleep in a church. A couple of nights ago, I went to the church, and I saw a rat, and then I saw a mouse inside the church, and I saw a spider, and then I said, you know what, when I sleep, I'm fearless.
I see, and I suppose that's the situation with a lot of other people out here.
It is true.
Sleeping wherever they can.
It is true.
How long do you plan to stay out here at Freedom Plaza?
I have to go because of my job tomorrow, but I am taking whatever I have learned. I have been here for 7 days. I am going to take whatever I have learned here to Colorado, and I'm going to be doing action planning in Colorado.
Now, let me ask you, did you ever protest in Iran when you were there?
Yes, we did. But we never got anywhere, you know, because of, you know, our government is brutal, you know. And
Well, you know, here in the District of Columbia, we're kind of a social justice town, and I would think that perhaps there is not much fear of the police roughing anybody up here. You haven't seen any of that yet, have you?
No, I have not. They've been really respectful to us.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure the police chief would like to know that. She happens to be a friend of mine. And tomorrow morning, however, I go to court, and I'm going to be representing someone who's been here with you many of those days, Mr. Dick Gregory. Did you know that name before you came here?
No, I did not.
I see. Okay. Well, he's a human rights activist all over the world, and he's in New York today with the group there, but he has been here 3 or 4 days. Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck in what you're doing here in representing the people. I work in social justice myself. I'm one of those lawyers who is also an activist, and we picket right across the street. We picket British Petroleum because they have not paid poor people that were injured or harmed by the oil spill down in the Gulf Coast. And on next week, we'll be going down that way to visit with the people trying to keep their hope up as we work for them to get them paid.
I just want to add one more thing.
Okay.
It's not just BP, and they just didn't do it to America. You know, it's ExxonMobil, Chevron, Conoco, all of those.
Big oil,
done damages in Middle East.
Yes.
And you guys do not hear about what we go through environmentally with them. But nobody reports back over here.
Well, I've traveled to the Middle East quite a lot, so I'm familiar with what you're talking about. I think I've been almost every place in the Middle East, and I've seen what it does in many instances.
Okay, thank you
for being my guest today.
Thank you.
And now we have Ted, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, we're going to talk with several people here, but if you need to say something or we need to go to a break, just let us know. But we want to talk with another guest, and tell me your name.
Ellen.
Ellen, and where are you from?
I'm from New York City.
Oh, why aren't you in New York City today?
I was there. I've been down on Wall Street. I've been there, but the fact is that we actually started organizing this occupation many, many, many months ago. Then the Wall Street thing sprang up, and I think it was just testament to the fact that this is the moment for the people to stand up and be heard.
Well, does the word here on your shirt mean anything?
Well, it says trouble.
Trouble,
and,
yes.
That's what they say when they see me coming. They say, here comes trouble.
All right, then. Well, if it's trouble for a good cause, then I appreciate you because I would probably be there, too, with you. My good friend, as you heard me say, is in New York today, and he's working with the New York group. So I guess it's kind of a trade-off. You're down here, and he's there.
You know, it's a global struggle. So
yes, yes. Well, how long have you been out here at Freedom Plaza?
I've been here since the beginning. We came out Wednesday night, actually, and started setting up the tent that you see around us. And Thursday morning, we came to stay, and we have been staying ever since. And they're in fact discussing that we may get a 4-month extension on our permit. So, which doesn't mean that we're stopping at 4 months.
No.
We're stopping when we've had our say, and we're.
Well, that's pretty hospitable of DC,
it
right?
It was very hospitable,
I mean,
but
even without your asking.
We actually believe that the Constitution has something to do with it. We believe that it is our First Amendment right to be out here.
And something called Freedom Plaza. I mean,
Freedom Plaza. It is federal land. It is paid for by our tax money. And we feel that we have a right to be here expressing our First Amendment views. So we understand that the police are in a position where they would like to have the paperwork buttoned up. But as far as we're concerned, it's not a permit that's giving us the right to be here. It is our fundamental right to be here.
This land is our land, right?
This land is our land right here.
I remember that song years and years ago, and I never forget it. So, and then plus this is called Freedom Plaza. It just kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, I think maybe one of the reasons that they decided to offer to extend it was the idea of a bunch of police arresting people for staying in a place called Freedom Plaza probably wouldn't play that well to the balcony these days.
Exactly. But, you know, in some cities,
And I heard you saying earlier, and my sister here said that we, for the most part, the park police here have been extremely respectful and extremely interested in helping protect our First Amendment rights. We were pepper sprayed by guards at the Smithsonian Museum at the National Air and Space Museum on Saturday, so it hasn't all been welcoming. And just as in New York, the New York Police Department pepper sprayed.
Now, were those the museum police?
They were not D.C. Metropolitan or Park Police. They were the guards in the museum.
Okay, because, as I said, the police chief here is a good friend, and I would like to hope that the city police are treating you all in a hospitable manner.
So far, they've been very, very helpful and interested in seeing how they can facilitate our making our voices heard. Maybe, you know, we'll see how things go on.
Well, I see they're voting right now. I guess we'll have a decision pretty soon as to whether the group is going to accept the offer to get the permit extended. It's a little bit noisy around here, but for those of you who are just joining us, I'm Faye Williams, your host of Celebrating Truth. We're here on Freedom Plaza, and we're talking about two sisters who have been here for quite a while, one from New York and one from Colorado. Now, where have you been sleeping since you've been here?
Well, there's a pad over, it's actually over on the next patch of grass down there, and my friend's been on the pad, and I was on the cardboard next to it. So, fortunately, I have a little padding of my own. Not as bad as it could be.
Well, you know, this is our city hall right across the street over here. I used to work in one of these buildings, and I think we have some pretty progressive people who work over there. I doubt that they would be the ones complaining about your being out here. As a matter of fact, if they didn't have to go to work in the morning, I would imagine they'd be out here with you.
They can come out on their lunch hour, and we will welcome them.
Well, why don't you just give them an invitation?
We invite all, any and all people here, because I think, as my sister here was saying, one of the things we're trying to do here is produce community. We want to make our voices heard, but we also, on this plaza, we are trying to model democracy as we think it could be. So over here, all this noise that's going on in the background is what we call a general assembly. And everybody is welcome to come to it, and everybody is welcome to speak and discuss the issues that are put on the agenda. In fact, even the agenda itself is open to people putting items on it, and people discuss and decide by consensus what kind of things we're going to, you know, how we're going to organize life here on the plaza, what kind of actions we might be doing to go out and, you know, today we marched over to a homeless shelter and visited with them. Some other people went to a celebration of Columbus Day to point out that Columbus's arrival was not the healthiest thing for many of the people and animals already on this land when he got here.
Yeah. You know, I was at a show last night, which is the birthday celebration of Dick Gregory, and one of the things he talked about was the horrible name of our football team here, you know, it's called the Washington Redskins.
Yes, and he, offensive.
Yeah, he explained to the people, you know, in a very serious manner, what it was like and where that word came from, you know, Redskins, and it's just atrocious as you
it's
think
appalling.
About it.
It is appalling that should still be in the public parlance.
Yes. Well, how many different groups? Are there different groups that are out here?
Well, that's interesting. It's not organized by groups. It was the planning that's been going on since March or April has actually been done by a lot of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of organizations that have signed on as endorsers and support it, but it's not led by organizations. It's led by people.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening now is that more people are coming, and the people, everybody here, are the people leading it and organizing it. It's not, and a lot of groups are supporting, and we really appreciate a lot of support that we've gotten from groups, but it's people who are making decisions here and people who have been making decisions all along, not groups.
Now tell our listeners again your name
and
where you're from.
My name is Ellen Davidson from New York City.
Okay, and hold up just a second. And my sister, I know that you've been out here. Tell our listeners your name again.
Roya.
For those of you who missed the first part of our show, Roya comes to us from Colorado, but initially from Iran. How would you say that this thus far is different from what might have happened in your country?
We do not have that. You know, like, we have elections,
mm-hmm.
but it's a totally different thing. But, the thing is, it's hard to explain. You know, what we have, you cannot compare it with here. And what we have on this plaza.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's very close to what you have in Washington,
mm-hmm.
because people think they can elect people and
mm-hmm.
they vote and they are their representative.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really mm-hmm. the senators and representatives are their representatives. They are corporations paying lobbyists,
mm-hmm.
you know, by them. And to me, another name for lobbyists are extortionists.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I always trying to make that definition. If you have extortionists in other countries, they go to jail. If they
mm-hmm.
give money, you know, they go to jail. In this country, they name them, they change
uh-huh.
their name to lobbyists.
Yes.
You know, and so they can pay them, and they select this, you know, that this imaginary government, and everybody thinks they have a say-so in it.
Well, I thank both of you for talking with us. If you want to stay around, perhaps you can observe something that's going on, and we'll come back to you in just a few moments. But we want to talk with my brother here from Washington, D.C. How are you? And just tell our listeners your name and why you're here.
My name is Eric Sheptuck. I'm here because I am a homeless advocate who lives in Washington, D.C. I've done a lot of organizing around the homeless issue, and they came to me and asked me if I would join this effort as an organizer.
Wow. And what's this experience been like? Well, I guess if you're homeless, then being out on Freedom Plaza is just sort of like what daily life would be like, huh?
Well, I'm not one of those hardy homeless people who stays outside. I actually stay inside of a shelter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, what have you found about the group here, and why did you decide to get involved?
Well, I have to admit that I studied Marxism. Mm-hmm. And I have for at least a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer that the system is a broken system, that capitalism is just going under. And we're seeing capitalism in its final throes. And it can transform into fascism as those who have the power struggle to hold on to that power.
Well, do you think we're getting any closer? And do you think protests like this move us any closer to making sure that we have everybody in affordable housing, affordable health care, all of these things, or do you think it's getting worse?
Well, in actuality, it all depends on how you define your goal, because one goal is speaking truth to power, letting government know how we feel, but another goal is educating the public. And I think that what's happening out here is putting a message out via the media. And both those in power, as well as those who are not in power, are seeing that message in the media. And so even if government doesn't concede, the general public will become more sympathetic. And as you saw, as they arrested more people in New York, it just grew exponentially.
Yes. Now, as I looked around, and this is my third day out here, I came out with Dick Gregory a few times. And this is my third day here, and you probably heard it say he's in New York today with the group. He has been out here with this group. But I don't see a lot of African-Americans out here. Why, if you had to speak to our brothers and sisters in the African-American community across the country, what would you say to them about their need or their obligation to be involved in events like this?
Well, what I would say is this, is that many Afro-Americans, when asked to get involved in social justice issues, say, the politicians don't want to hear us, and so we're not going to go speak to them. But what I tell them is, who cares if they don't want to hear you? Make them hear you. You put them in office with your vote or with your tax dollars. You pay their salaries, and so make them hear you. Don't worry about them not wanting to hear you. And come out, and also that they need to make the connection between the problems they experience in their individual lives and the fact that it's the system that's in place that creates their problems.
Now, sometimes people will give up, you know, as you said. They'll think that they can't make a difference, but do you find that protests like this can bring about change?
Well, I think if it grows, it can bring about change. That as it stands right now, the powers that be are going to say that we're only a fraction of a percentage of the entire population in the country, and they're not really going to listen. But, you know, during the Bush era, I saw some pretty big war protests. Of course, they didn't stop the wars, which is part of why we're here in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I've seen as many as 500,000 people come to town on one day, but they come for just a few hours. We have this protest culture just coming out for a few hours and then going home. This year, even though it's smaller than 500,000 people, it's going on for a longer time. And I think that we need to change our protest culture to have 500,000 people staying here for days and weeks and months and really just turning on the heat and inundating Capitol Hill and stopping business the way that we stopped things at the Air and Space Museum the other day. We actually made them shut it down, and we need to do that to Congress. We shouldn't be standing out to all these smaller, less significant places. We should first go to the most significant place, which is Capitol Hill, and shut it down, and then we can fan out into smaller things. We don't want to repeat the Tet Offensive, where people are so spread out in so many different cities that they end up getting defeated, you know.
Well, are there any plans to take this group to Capitol Hill?
There have been plans that were mentioned. They weren't really formulated into anything tangible. But you have to remember that we just had a three-day weekend, and Congress is back in session tomorrow, and anytime within the next 24 to 48 hours, we could develop plans to go to Capitol Hill and just do a flash mob up there.
Okay, now you and I are from Washington, D.C., and I would be willing to bet that many of these people out here are not from Washington, D.C. How do you think we can get more people from Washington, D.C. to come out here and join the people who come from other countries, other cities, other states? What do you think we can do to get more people out here?
Well, actually, I'm part of a group that's already working on that because we're planning a March to End Poverty on June 30th, 2012, and the organizers of that effort are beginning to do outreach to directly affected communities. Okay, I'm in contact with Matthews Memorial Church in Southeast, the Anacostia Station.
Well, and
I'm going to ask them to help us do outreach to the Anacostia community. And we're also brainstorming about other conduits into other poor neighborhoods. And so over the next few months, we are going to do some very serious outreach to get directly affected communities involved, whether they're black or homeless or poor. So my concern is that this action needs to go on until it really becomes germane, because it's going to be a really germane action in late November when Congress decides on the budget for this fiscal year that we're actually already in.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 5 or 6 more weeks to do that before the super committee kicks in. But anyway, you know, my worry is that this might fall apart before the end of November. And then when Congress makes all the cuts to things like HUD housing, where they cut $5.7 billion and make 600,000 families or 2 million more individuals homeless, we might all be dispersed back in our cities of origin. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I'm hoping we can maintain this at least through December 1st, if not later.
For those of you who are just joining us on Celebrating Truth, I'm Faye Williams, your host, and I'm talking with my brother Eric, who does a great job here in Washington, D.C., with our homeless brothers and sisters. He is here on Freedom Plaza today. And Eric, if you would just tell our listeners some of the issues you've noticed that people are interested in and are promoting out here on this plaza. What's the key one?
Well, as a homeless advocate, I must say that those who are dealing with the homeless issue, because we have these different committees with different focuses, and we're focused on gentrification, lack of affordable housing, the HUD cuts that might occur in late November and make 2 million more homeless people in this country. But as a larger group, we want to bring an end to corporatism and cronyism and militarism and capitalism as a whole. And we want to create a government that focuses on providing human need rather than satisfying corporate greed.
And that's a very ambitious agenda, and I thank you, and I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so very much.
All right.
All right. Keep on keeping on. Again, this is Faye Williams. We're out at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., and we're going to be talking with a young person here, one young person to another, right? Okay, how are you, my brother?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
I am blessed. This is Celebrating Truth. We talk about truth here that people may not be hearing about on mainstream media. Would you let our listeners know what your name is?
Michael Patterson.
Michael Patterson? Oh, wow. What happened? Did the vote pass?
Hopefully.
Okay. I think we probably had a decision on whether they're going to accept the extension or whether they're just going to stay without the extension. And I'm talking, again, tell our listeners your name.
Michael Patterson.
Michael Patterson. You're from where, Michael?
Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage, Alaska, the home of that person. What's her name? Oh, that person.
I would like to apologize for her, and she needs to stop talking.
All right, then. Looks like she kind of shut herself up out of the race for president at any rate. Okay. Now, why are you all the way down here?
I recently just got out of the Army 2 months ago. I served in Iraq back in 2009, and when I came back home, it took me a while to realize how the system works here and how basically, you know, we no longer live in a representative government.
All right. So have you found that you're finding friends or people who are in unity with your thinking on this since you've been here in Freedom Plaza?
Honestly, coming here to Freedom Plaza and McPherson Park over there on K Street,
mm-hmm.
I used to have a pretty bad opinion of humanity in general, and honestly, it's changed it completely.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been here on Freedom Plaza?
I was at Freedom Plaza in the beginning for about 3 days, and I moved to McPherson Park. Just because there's more, it's basically another front line.
Okay. So were you down at the museum the other day when people were pepper sprayed?
Yeah, I actually saw the whole thing go down. I got mace in my mouth. It was pretty awful.
And I mean, did you see a need for that? I mean, that's unusual for people.
Not really. I mean, what happened was basically they opened the doors, and then I guess if some guys admitted he was a provocateur, and they literally pepper sprayed like 38 people. It was like pepper spray sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't taste good.
Yeah. Now, is this your first time participating in a protest like this?
Yeah.
All right. So you think you would do it again?
Yes. I mean, hopefully not, because after this, I hope our government actually does what it's supposed to do and functions as the voice of the people and represents all people.
Now, have you spoken with your own member of Congress about the things that you're supporting down here on Freedom Plaza? And if so, what's been their response?
I have not spoken with my senators or representatives. Our representative is Don Young, and he's pretty much probably one of the most corrupt representatives in the House, probably. And honestly, I'm young, mad, and angry, and I don't think I can have a civil conversation with a politician.
Okay, so what you're trying then to do is to influence those who are influenceable, if that's the word, right?
I don't really want to influence anybody. I just want to do my part, really. I mean, I don't think anyone here is trying to bogart this movement or, you know, get the spotlight. I think we're all here and we have a purpose, and that's to make things better, because I think we all can agree, no matter what our political affiliations or our ideologies is, this government is ineffective, and it's literally killing people because of it.
Now, you said you were in Iraq, right? How long were you there?
I was there for 3 months because the group I went with was in the special forces community, and they only deployed for 3 months at a time.
And did you meet people there who were real human beings, and you became friends with any of them, and you think of them just as you do your brothers and sisters here in this country?
Yes, actually, I was in military intelligence, and I was an interrogator, so I interrogated a lot of detainees while I was there, and a lot of the times that came up were, why did you join this insurgent group, or why did you join this terrorist group? And a lot of the time the answers were, I can't find a job, and I need to feed my kids. And I basically just took the same situation, and I applied to here in America. And I think a lot of Americans make the same decisions because, you know, you got to provide for your families.
And how long? Well, you know, I've made a lot of trips to Iraq myself, and I have a lot of friends there, so I remember my feelings when that first Gulf War occurred, and I just left friends behind. I mean, once you've traveled to these other countries and you've met people, you have a very different feeling about war, would you say?
War is the ultimate failure of any civilized society.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you are for negotiating differences wherever these can be negotiated.
I think if reasonable, sane individuals can come together and have a dialogue, compromise can be reached pretty much every single time.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here, and good luck with what you're doing. I know that all of you are doing will make a difference. And it's up to the rest of the young people like you to come out. If you had to say just one last word to young people like yourself, what would that be?
I mean, to the young people out there, honestly, if things do not change, what else is there for us? I mean, this is very important. If this does not work, there's nothing else. The future is very bleak if things do not change.
Well, as you know, Dr. Martin Luther King was a very peaceful man, and in just a few days we'll be celebrating the dedication of the Martin Luther King Memorial. If you're still in Washington, D.C., I want to invite you to come over to that dedication and let us try to renew some of the feeling we had when Dr. King was talking to us about peace and human rights and all of those things.
I don't plan on leaving until this is over.
All right. Thank you so much. You have a blessed day, and thank you for talking with us. I'm Faye Williams, and this is Celebrating Truth. We're going to take a little break for just a few minutes, and as we will continue talking with people here on Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. This is Celebrating Truth, brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. And today we have anchoring Ted Terry. And Ted, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dr. Williams. Let's take a break and move back in just a few moments. How's that?
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You see that doggy in the shelter.
Hi, I'm Buddy, the adorable puppy you adopted from the Humane Society.
Meow.
I'm Whiskers, a fluffy kitty, just waiting for someone to love me.
When you adopt a pet, we hope your new furry friend will become a cherished member of your family. And as Buddy and Whiskers will tell you, the key to success is following the rules to love by.
Woof, that's right. Please give me food, water, and exercise every day. To stay healthy, I need the same kind of things you need.
Talk to me. I like hearing your voice.
You're my best friend. Please don't stay mad at me or lock me up as punishment. Remember, I'm probably going to live 10 to 15 years, so take care of me when I get old.
One day you'll need someone to take care of you, too.
A message from the Montgomery County Humane Society. Visit www.mchumane.org for the complete rules to love by.
Be your best friend for life.
If you're an African American man, you need to know about oral cancer. Oral cancer is more common in African American men than in any other group in the U.S. If you have a sore or lump in your mouth that doesn't go away after 2 weeks, see a doctor or a dentist. Most often these symptoms don't mean cancer, but it's important to get them checked. If you do have oral cancer, it can be treated more successfully if it's caught early. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health.
Now back to Celebrating Truth.
Thank you so much, Corey. Again, this is Faye Williams, and I'm at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. We're talking with people who are here, many of whom are from other countries, other cities and towns across the country. I want you to check out our website at nationalcongressbw.org. It's nationalcongressbw.org, and you'll find information of the National Congress upcoming events. We have many, many things going on in Washington, D.C., and right now it's very exciting because we have people from all over the world here at Freedom Plaza, so aptly named. As I walk around, I see tents where people are sleeping on the ground. We have all kinds of facilities around for them out here. Some are sleeping in churches. Some are eating at churches. Many of them have committed to stay out here on this mold until we the people make some changes for the people in our government. And it's a really exciting time. This is my third day being out here and meeting people from all over the world. We're going to be talking with someone else in just a few moments, but I want you to know that we are celebrating truth, and we talk about things that you don't often hear about on mainstream media, but we do talk about them here on Celebrating Truth. And for those of you who are not familiar with what I mean, we are the organization that put truth in the Capitol, Sojourner Truth, that is. We put a statue there, a memorial of her, a little over 2 years ago. And we are women who are making a difference by telling truths you don't often hear about on mainstream media. We have another guest right now, and we want to talk with her. How are you today?
I'm very fine. You're Faye?
Yes, I'm Faye.
And I'm Pocky Wieland.
Pocky. All right, and what's that word you have up here? We will not be silent. Is that what these letters say?
That's what they say. It says it in Arabic.
In Arabic.
It says it in Hebrew.
In Hebrew, yes, okay. And I think Dr. Martin Luther King said something about silence, too. If
yes.
You remember, right,
our silence is golden.
Our silence gives consent. So as long as we stay away and we don't do anything about those things we say we want to have changed, then it's like we're giving our consent for them to happen. Now tell our listeners your name and where you're from.
My name is Pocky Wieland, and I live in Northampton, Massachusetts. And a few years ago, we erected our own Sojourner Truth statue because Sojourner Truth, going north, came to Florence, Massachusetts, which is part of North.
That's right. Right. In fact, she had a home there. She kind of traveled all over the place.
She did.
And she said that Sojourner, that's where she got her name because she knew that she was going to journey across this country. She even came here to Washington, D.C. and saw President Abraham Lincoln. And that was, you know, way back there when many of our people were still in enslavement. And certainly women didn't have a vote at that time, but she did her share in working with Susan B. Anthony,
and Lucretia Mott and the others in helping to gain that right to vote for women. Well, how long have you been here?
I came here Wednesday night, so I've been here since Thursday morning.
Ah, you were here from the beginning of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and how long do you plan to stay?
Well, I have to go back home to do a speaking engagement, actually, in another week and a half, but I'll be here another week and a half.
Oh, wonderful. Now, as you've come here and you've seen all these people who are sitting on the ground, who are sleeping on the ground, are you one of those, or do you have a big hotel room?
No, I have been, when I got here, I said, you know, I'm a grandmother, so I said, what can I do to be of use? And they said, well, we need somebody to coordinate St. Stephen's Church for people who can't be sleeping out for various reasons. Can you make sure that the church is open and that we both take care of it for the people of St. Stephen's and also for ourselves?
So do you find many of the people who are here are sleeping outdoors, though?
Yes, most of the people, I think, are sleeping outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you noticed any police action, roughing up the people or being what we might call disrespectful as protesters? Have they been pretty kind here in Washington?
They have been extraordinary, I have to say.
Yeah,
the experiences I've had and the people, my friends who have slept here, that they came over and they were as gentle as could be. They were very, very respectful.
That's wonderful. Then I'm good. I'm really glad to hear that. As I said earlier, the police chief is one of my friends. I went down to help her to be installed. I think she's that kind of person that she would want to welcome you here. And I certainly have been hearing that from everyone else. Tomorrow morning, I'll be going to court with someone you might have heard of, Dick Gregory. We'll be in court tomorrow morning for picketing that we do right across the street there of British Petroleum. On behalf of the people who were injured by the British Petroleum oil spill down in the Gulf. And then after we picket over here, we'll be going down south in just a few days to begin working again. We've even been to London, England, working on this issue where the British Petroleum headquarters are located. But we'll be going back down to Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida to keep the spirits of the people up and to encourage them, as you are, not to give up, that, you know, people can make a difference when we act in groups. And is that one of the reasons you're here?
It's very much one of the reasons I'm here. You know, it's not just the people of the Gulf area, but it's all the life in the Gulf of Mexico that was destroyed.
Yes.
So much of that. And so many people's livelihoods. So, I mean, people's lives have just been devastated. I mean, on top of, first of all, Hurricane Katrina, and then, you know, and then Rita, and then, of course, the Gulf oil spill. So I am so glad that you are protesting BP, because we need to hold these, we need to hold all these people who have this power accountable.
Now, what do you do back in Massachusetts?
Well, I used to be a bewildered adult. I used to be a university faculty. And when I retired, I said, you know, I've done enough of this. Now I've really got to do what my heart's desire is. And to not just keep my life shrinking into the academy, but to just expand out. So this is my life.
Well, we have something in common there. At one time, I was a law school professor, so I know what it's like. Yeah, now, you know, a lot of people in your position, say, if you were still teaching, would say, I don't know, you know, I work for the government. I can't get involved. What would you say to people like that who could make a difference if they were participating in activities like this?
Well, you know, there's this joke about whether it's the federal government or the university, that there's this joke about faculty meetings. Why are they so contentious? And the answer is, of course, because the issues are so unimportant.
Okay.
So what we do in our jobs, we become our jobs. So people so often say, so what do you do? What do you do? And what we do becomes this new ego thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I'm the university professor.
So that becomes who you are, as a matter of fact.
And it's an induction. And one of the things I love about this 99% is really break that myth that you're so important because, you know, you're not one of us.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we are the people.
Yes. Well, you know, back in 1991, when we were about to go into the first Gulf War, I went off to the Middle East with a group of about 200 women from around the world to try to prevent the first Gulf War. When I came back, some of my own colleagues, some of my own friends were saying I should have been tried for treason. You know, I worked for
Congress at the time, but I was blessed. I worked for a congressman who had pretty similar ideas that, to those that I had, and while some people might have been fired. I guess whenever you do something like this, you know that there are risks, and do you find that there are many people out here who have something to risk, but they're still out here?
I think people do have something to risk, but I think the reason everybody's here who might have something to risk, and I put that in quotes,
mm-hmm.
is because if we don't do something now, we are risking so much more.
Yes, yes.
So, it's so much more than your prestige or your neighbors thinking highly of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we have at risk right now is, I think we're right at that, in the center of that fulcrum.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an opportunity to really make change. And when I hear that people are doing occupations all across the country, there are over 1,000 cities and towns.
Yeah,
the people are occupying.
Yeah,
I think people are waking up, and you know, we've really been inducted into going to sleep, into getting my own.
Yeah,
you know, when you realize that's not the answer.
Yeah, you're right. I've noticed that people are doing similar things as what you're doing out here in Freedom Plaza in San Francisco, in Seattle, Chicago, Los Angeles. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, we're accustomed to protest here in Washington, D.C. Every day we're protesting something or the other, and I guess Congress gives us enough to protest every day. But it is so wonderful, so welcoming, and I hope you found the people in Washington, D.C. to be welcoming to what you're doing.
They have been wonderful, and if I can tell you just something for you and for the people who are listening to this, that the issue of numbers is so important. I was arrested last April in a die-in at the White House, and we were to go on trial on September 12th, and the prosecution had to drop the case because the park police had been so occupied with the people who had done the tar sands that they didn't have chance to prepare their case. And I think that's just a microcosm of what we need to do. We need to just keep flooding the cities. We need to keep flooding the courts. We need to keep flooding the departments of justice.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm a lawyer, and I'll be in court tomorrow morning on a social justice issue with Dick Gregory. So I want to thank you so much for being here. He's in New York today.
Yes.
But as you know, he has been out here several days with you.
Well, thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. And we've had beautiful weather for you, too. Hello, looks like we've got someone else here. How are you?
I'm just fine, Doctor. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm Faye Williams, and we're on Celebrating Truth here. We've got just a few minutes, and we'd like to talk with you, find out who you are and where you're from and why you're here.
Thank you very much. My name's Don Anderson. I'm from Lebanon, Oregon. I'm a disabled vet. I've had an issue with the Veterans Administration since 1975 when I received a spinal puncture by a careless med student at the VA hospital in Portland, Oregon. In 1985, after 10 years of physical therapy and outpatient treatment, etc., the doctors convinced me that I really needed to file a claim with the Veterans Administration for disability. Within a month, all my medical records from the military service from 63 to 66, a 10-year span of 75 to 85 when I was dealing with the spinal puncture, all those records disappeared. I've not yet received any compensation. I know thousands of other veterans and their families who have received the same inadequate treatment from the Veterans Administration.
But you have been trying. I mean, this isn't
I have been trying. Even my Congressman Peter DeFazio, 4th District from Eugene, Oregon, was unable to get more than 13 pages of my medical records, and Frank Van Cleve, his veterans advocate, was able to get those 13 pages from 5 different sources.
Now, I notice you're wearing a Veterans for Peace badge over there.
Yes.
Yeah, I've spoken with groups of Veterans for Peace across the country many times, particularly as I work to try to prevent that first Gulf War. You see, because if we allow one to happen, there's a greater chance that another one will happen.
Exactly.
I wrote a book back at that time called Peace Terrorists.
Yes,
we were a group of women who were out there trying to
have peace for people around the world, and yet we were treated like terrorists.
Yes.
So I think those are the kinds of things that these people who are out here at Freedom Plaza are trying to change so that we can have equal opportunity, equality of opportunity. So I thank you so much for being out here. But you, now you said that you had an injury. Was that injury in the military?
Yeah, that injury was in the VA hospital. I went in with rapid weight loss over January, February, and early March.
Mm-hmm.
I'd lost 68 pounds inside that 2-month span. I had tremors over my entire body. I had lapses of consciousness where I just completely blacked out, walking down the street, in my home, at work. I was found face down in a bed of azaleas in a greenhouse. The nursery where I worked, my civilian doctor realized that he didn't have the expertise to deal with my condition. He advised me to go to the VA hospital in Portland, Oregon. They drew blood, but before that blood test, the results came back. They decided that maybe there was neurological problems, so they did a myelogram. The procedure went off fine. The doctor said there was no neurological problems that she could see. And as she was lifting the table to elevate me back to a horizontal position from having my head inverted, another doctor stuck his head in the room to ask if he could consult with her on another VA patient, a veteran patient. She says, yes, we're just about finished here. I'll be right out. Mr. Anderson, are you comfortable? I said, yes, I am. I'd also already cracked 2 ribs on that hard surface during the procedure, but I was essentially okay. She said, don't anybody touch anything. We'll come right back in. Mr. Anderson, we'll get you back to your room just as soon as we remove the dye. She stepped out, and within 5-10 seconds, a male med student, in an effort to probably impress the female students that were in there, picked up the needle, put it back into my spine, right through the sciatic nerve, paralyzed me from the waist down.
I'm so sorry about that.
I spent 10 months in there. In September of that year, I came down with active tuberculosis, and they had to quarantine me within the hospital, bring physical therapy equipment to my room, and I was essentially on my own at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope that protests like these that are going on all across the country will help in situations like yours so that other people don't have to go through the challenges you're going through. I want to thank you personally for being out here in the mall, because I know that many people who have any excuse might decide not to come out here.
That's
but
right.
You've come out here in what my aunt used to call roughing it, and this is really roughing it. Now, where do you sleep out here?
I sleep in this tent just down the road here. I have a new American flag with, I believe it might be Chief Crazy Horse or Geronimo on it, on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I have the POW flag, and I have the Veterans for Peace flag, and my tent is right next to that.
Okay, well, I'll pass by there and take a look at it. And again, I want to thank you for taking the time to come out here despite the challenges that you face, and I pray that all of these things that are going on will be helpful to people like you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And for those of you who are just joining us and you didn't hear the entire program today from Freedom Plaza, you can go to artistfirst.com. That's artist, A-R-T-I-S-T, first.com. All of our shows are archived, and you can go back and listen to them at a later time. And thank you again.
Thank you very much. It's
All right.
A pleasure to be out here with my fellow Americans making radical progressive history for our nation.
Thank you again for being with us. Again, this is Faye Williams with Celebrating Truth. We have in the studio as the anchor, Ted Terry. Terry, how's it going? Have you been hearing about anything else that's going on across the country thus far? Well, we are going to wrap up out here in just a moment, but I want to say that this program is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women, and we have Celebrating Truth every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to 7 p.m. We're still trying to see if we can get the results of the vote as to whether or not the people out here on Freedom Plaza are going to accept an extension of the permit they had to be out here on Freedom Plaza. Again, some people have left, but there are many, many tents left out here on the plaza. It seems that the people who are here to stay.
Let me tell you just a little bit about the National Congress of Black Women. We are an organization for the benefit of black women and their families, and we work with young children in a program called College for Kids. College for Kids is a program for 9 to 12-year-olds. Anyone who wishes to come into the program can. We take in boys, girls of all races, creeds, colors, nationalities. And we work with our partners, Comcast, as well as Southwest Airlines. And we have several other supporters who help us to put on these programs all around the country so that we can teach young people about all the wonderful things they can be, so that we can teach them about civil and human rights and social justice issues. So we are so pleased that so many people from around the world have come today to be here, and as a matter of fact, have come since the past week, and many say that they plan to stay out here until justice is done. We're at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., but there are events going on all around the country. There are people who are protesting in New York City, and of course, Dick Gregory, the civil and human rights activist, is in New York City today, but no doubt will be back out here after he leaves court tomorrow. He was arrested in a protest against British Petroleum just a couple of weeks ago, right across the street from Freedom Plaza. And we will be going to court tomorrow morning for his arraignment, along with a young man by the name of Will Brown, or professionally known as Rill. But we'll be in court tomorrow morning, so send up a little prayer for us that everything will go okay there. You know, British Petroleum had this massive oil spill which caused a disaster in Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida along the Gulf Coast. And British Petroleum, through its administrator, Ken Feinberg, who's just across the way here at the Willard office building, has refused to pay these people. He admits and acknowledges that many of these people deserve pay, that he knows that they've been injured, but for some reason will not pay it. That's why events like this are necessary, for people to come out and protest against unfairness to people who need this help. There are many people who cannot speak for themselves. And that's what social justice workers are all about, speaking for people who often cannot speak for themselves. There are events like the one out here on Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., going on in San Francisco. There have been over 800 protesters gathered at the opening rally at the federal building for some of the protests there that was initiated by the Answer Coalition. There are many groups that are involved in these events. We have so many groups I've met here for the homeless, people who are against the war, and others who are out here trying to get our Congress to listen to what the people want. As a matter of fact, their big sign in the background says, we the people. They're actually voting democratically on what they do out here. It's like a community. They determine things about eating, sleeping, just the basic conveniences or inconveniences, as it were, that are out here on Freedom Plaza. And they're right across from the District of Columbia Council and Mayor's Office. They're right across the street from the Ronald Reagan Building and right across the street from the Commerce Building, as well as many major hotels, many major corporations like Marriott and the Willard Hotel and others, many theaters in the area. But it is an area where, nevertheless, they're sleeping on the hard surface on the ground, that they care so much about these issues that they're willing to stay here. Many thought that when the permit was up today, that people would be leaving. But that is not true. Many have been here for nearly a week now, and they maintain that they will be here throughout the duration of this protest. People are protesting in Albuquerque. They're protesting in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Seattle, in New York. In other words, it seems that people are fed up with the Congress not being able to get things done that are for the good of the people. In fact, their slogan out here is that we are the 99%. So what they're saying is 1% of the people have all of the basically all of the resources and are not sharing them and are getting them at the expense of poor people. I'm walking around and I'm looking at some of the signs that say, Wake up, America. We're in a class war. and the rich are winning. So it's a challenge to people to get involved in these protests as other people have decided to do from all across the country. We've met people from as far away as Iran. We've met people from Colorado, Massachusetts, from Lebanon, Oregon, many other places. One of the signs I see says, military families speak out. They're calling on military families to speak out because they too have many challenges. As you know, our First Lady has worked with military families trying to improve life for them. There are people out here who are protesting drone war. They're saying it has no human face. It is monstrous. There is a sign out here that says, America, please shut down the United Nations. There is another sign that says, stop subsidies for big energy. Stop destroying our planet. There's another one I'm looking at saying, compassion, not capitalism, I believe. Some are handwritten, some are professionally made. There's another one that says, my friend Steve Walker died died a son, but never a father. We must stop this. Another one says, restore the budget cut. That is really one of the highlights of this, restoring the budget cut. As you know, the Congress on the Republican side anyway has wanted to do things like cut without looking at how this is going to affect human beings. Here is another tent that says people over profit. Sign says our permit is gone, but we remain. Another one says illegal tent and legal tent. I'm not sure what that would mean. Another one says, now or how is the war economy working for you? I suppose that is someone who is opposed to war. Here's another one that says, in these wars, meaning in all wars. And as I walk around, I see people who seem to be terribly united. I haven't seen any arguments. I haven't seen any frowns. I haven't seen any fear on the faces of the people. Here's another one that says, hard time for financial crime. Californians here to end corporate rule. We the people say human needs, not corporate greed. Monetary reform now. So there's a hodgepodge of people asking for many things around here, but it mainly has to do with making life better for people. Here is another one that says, has a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King on it, which says abolish nuclear weapons now. Other reasons people are out here, one is called Radical Babies for Breast Milk. Another one says save corporations from widows and orphans. I guess that means that they're pretty tough. Peak Oil got 350-something, I'm not sure. There's a sign out here against attacking Iran. Stop the coke binge. End the assault on our elections. So you see, people are out here for so many different reasons. But again, as I said, it's all for making life better for all of us. You've been listening to Celebrating Truth. I'm here at Freedom Plaza, and we've been talking with many, many people just to give you a flavor of why people are out here willing to sleep out here in the open air, willing to stay away from their homes, from their jobs, and committing to be out here until things are better for the people, until corporate greed ends. I want to thank you so much for listening this evening. I know it's been a little noisy, but we've enjoyed being out here talking with so many people and seeing their commitment. Thank you again for listening to Celebrating Truth. We'll see you next week. That's it for Celebrating Truth today. And thank you, Ted, for being anchor for us today. Thank you, Corey, and good night.